39 verse 18. Praise the Lord. Just give me a few minutes here this morning. I know it's been a long service, amen, because of everything taking place, amen. But let me give you a few words here. Amen. Proverbs 29 verse 18. The word of God reads like this. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Wow. Let's pray. Father, bless the reading of your word anointed to our hearts here this morning. Lord, we thank you this morning for everything that you've done, everything that you're going to continue to do. Have your way in Jesus' name. Everybody says,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I titled this message, The Powerful Church. See, the powerful church is a church with a vision. And here at Victory Outreach Grand Prairie, we know what God has called us to do. Our vision and our mission is clear. Our vision is to be a base church that deploys pastors to start churches and deploys missionaries into the world to build the kingdom of God locally and globally. Amen. We do this by evangelizing our city, by evangelizing our state, and reaching the lost that are without Jesus Christ and discipling them to be the future leaders of tomorrow. We disciple them to go out and to be those pastors and to be those missionaries. See, we believe that all that we need to accomplish this vision is already in the house. And if it's not be in the house yet, then God is sending it to the house. See, our vision, our purpose, our vision, you have to understand, it is our center. Our vision is our focal points. Our vision is our central points. It is the center of attention. It is the hub. It is the pivot. It is the nucleus. It is the heart. It is the cornerstone. It is the bedrock. It is the basis. It is the anchor. It is the backbone. Our vision is our backbone. Our vision is our anchor. In other words, our vision is our focal points. See, it is what we focus on. And focus is a powerful thing. You will never get anywhere in life by being a scatterbrain. This is why you need vision in your life. Vision aligns you. A God vision aligns you with God's. For so long, we lived out of line with God's. But now God has saved us. Now God has saved you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And he brought you to Victory Outreach to align you with his plan and his purpose. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 1 through 3, Peter writes, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with this same attitude. Because whoever suffers in the body is done away with sin. Peter is here telling us the same way Jesus suffered, we're also going to suffer. He says, as a result, they do not live, he's talking about us, the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. Listen to what it says. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. Listen, most of us, we lived in debauchery, which means excessive indulgence in sinful pleasures. We live a lustful lifestyle of wanting and wanting and wanting more. Many of us love to get wasted and get drunk on the weekends or even on the weekdays. Come on, somebody. Many of us were way out of line sexually and we had different partners. Come on now. Many of us were carousing. Carousing means that we love to party. We love to go club hopping. That's what carousing is. Come on, somebody. Many of us, we were idolaters. In other words, we put other things before God. Therefore, God wasn't getting our worship. But those things or those people that we put before God were getting our worship. The scripture says that we spent enough time in the past doing those things. But now, I said now, it's time to align ourselves with the will of God, with God's vision for your life and for my life. We spent enough time in the world, but now it's time to align ourselves with God's plan and God's purpose and God's vision for our life. So this morning, I just want to give you two things that God's vision will do in your life. The first is that God's vision allows you to give yourself to a cause that is guilt-free. In other words, God's vision for your life allows you to give yourself to a cause that ain't going to keep you up at night. Come on, somebody. Or that's going to have you to have a guilty conscience. Before I gave myself to a wrong cause, the cause of selling drugs. And listen, that kept me up. Before I gave myself to a wrong cause of gangbanging and violence. But that left me with a guilty conscience. But God's vision allows you to give yourself to a cause that is guilt-free. In Acts chapter 26, you can turn there. In Acts chapter 26, I'm going to read you the whole chapter here. It's an account of the story of, an account in the life of the Apostle Paul. I love this chapter in Acts chapter 26. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says here as he stands before King Agrippa. He says, "Then Agrippa said to Paul, 'You have permission to speak for yourself.' So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense. 'King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews, and especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. The Jewish people all know the way I have lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem. Verse 5, they have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that I conform to the strictest sect of our religion, living as a Pharisee. And now it's because of my hope in what God has promised our ancestors that I am on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. King Agrippa, it is because of this hope that these Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And this is just what I did in Jerusalem on the authority of the chief priests. I put many of the Lord's people in prison, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign cities. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' Then I asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' the Lord replied. 'Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me.' So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and then to the Gentiles, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. See, here, this vision that God had given Paul, this caused him to give himself wholly to the work of God. See, because of the vision of God that God gave to Paul, Paul gave his whole life to the point of prison and even death. He was able to give himself wholly and with no regrets or guilt because he knew he was on the right side, on God's side. Do you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're on the right side? See, giving yourself all the way to God's vision doesn't mean a life without thorns and thistles and trials and testings or storms and fires, but it does mean you can be at peace with your Creator and with your Lord. Giving yourself to this vision that God has for you will require sacrifice. It will require paying a price. Paul sacrificed his whole life. Everything that he stood for in his past had to change. But he gladly gave himself to God and his vision so that he could know him. See, when you give yourself to God's vision, you begin to know God better because you begin to walk in his shoes. You know that many people go and they visit Jerusalem. They go and visit the Holy Land where Jesus walked. They go to develop a deeper relationship, a deeper sense of being close to Jesus. Yes. That's great, my friend. But how much more closer to him will you feel if you actually do what Jesus did? And that's lay down your life for his sheep and for his people so that his vision can be fulfilled. That's what the vision is all about. It's about laying our life down for the lost and the hurting. His sheep that are lost and hurting, that are wayward and backslidden. God called us to lay down our life. And when you lay down your life and begin to accomplish the heavenly vision, you will feel a closeness, a nearness to God like never before. You ain't got to travel 1,000, 2,000 miles all the way to Jerusalem to feel Jesus close to you. All you have to do is do what Jesus did. And when you begin to do what Jesus did, you will feel the nearness of the presence of God. This is why in the home you can feel the presence of God. Why? Because we're doing what Jesus did there in the men's home and there in the women's home. This is why when we preach, we feel the anointing of God so powerfully. Why? Because we're doing what Jesus did. This is why when we go to the streets and evangelize, we feel the presence of God so closely. Why? Because we're walking in his ways. Secondly, God's vision gives life to dead people. God's vision gives life to dead situations and dead places. Go with me, Ezekiel 37, verse 1 through 14. God's vision gives life to dead people, situations, and places. You know that there's situations that are dead. There's places that are dead. There are people that are walking dead. Call them zombies. Call them what you want. Huh? I'll call them people that are not saved. In Ezekiel 37, verse 1 through 14, it says, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? I said, sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath into you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. Thee they say, our bones are dried up. These they say to me, these bones are the people of Grand Prairie. And they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says to Grand Prairie. I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will create in you your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. Now we can sit here and debate whether this was just a vision or if this really happened. But the bottom line is that this is a powerful illustration of what the power of God can do. We have seen this happen before our very own eyes in Victory Outreach International since 1967. We have been seeing, give me the piano player up here. We have been seeing God's place. We have been seeing God. We have been seeing God place men and women of God in the midst of a valley of dry bones. We've been seeing this since 1967. God raising up a man. God raising up a woman. We've been seeing this take place, Victory Outreach. That God raises up a man. And God raises up a woman. And he places him in the middle of a valley of dry bones. And we have heard the rattle of revival. And we have saw, we've seen God put together a broken man. Follow me, a broken woman, a broken family. And one by one, we've seen God raise up armies all over the world. That's why we have flags in our building, not just to look good, but because in those countries, God is raising up an army. He's raised up a ministry. He's raised up a dead people who had no life. Out of a people who were once no people, God has raised up a mighty generation. I once owed death in a baggie. Now I want to give life through my words. I once sold death through my lifestyle, but now I want to give myself to God's vision for my life. See, I want you to know this morning that a powerful church accomplishes the heavenly vision through seven things that I'm going to give you real fast. One, evangelism. Evangelism. A powerful church accomplishes God's vision through evangelism. Yeah. Personal one-on-one evangelism. Yeah. And team evangelism. Team evangelism, because team stands for together, everybody accomplishes more. So this is why we're starting a new ministry called Treasure Hunters. Where are the treasure hunters at? I raised up two captains, Brother Joe and Brother Carl. They're going to be captains of our street team called Treasure Hunters. Because we need to mobilize the church to accomplish the vision. It's going to take one evangelism. It's going to take two faithful givers. It's going to take faithful givers. That we don't rob God, but we bless God. The tithe doesn't bless bless God. The extra offering blesses God. Three, we're going to raise up church planners. Church planners. Going to the UTC is great, but going out to start a church is greater. I said, going to the UTC is great, but going out to start a church is greater. Going to the UTC is great, but planting a church that's going to plant other churches is even greater. I'm speaking into existence. I'm prophesying to dry bones. I know you may not be able to see it with your physical eyes, but I see it with my spiritual eyes. We're going to launch out churches. We're going to base church. Number four, through a strong and anointed music department. That's how we accomplish the vision. When we have a strong, anointed music department, a powerful worship team. Judah means praise. And they always led the way. When the 12 tribes moved, especially into battle, Judah led the way. Judah means praise. It's a worship team in the house. You need to lead the way, worship team. You need to lead the way. You need to lead us into battle. You need to get your praise on so that we can get our praise on. You need to get your breakthrough so that we can get our breakthrough. We need a strong. I said we need a strong. Not a wishy-washy. Not a sinful. Not a cult on Saturday and Sunday in the choir. No, we need a strong anointed worship team that is holy and right and that loves God with all their heart. Number five, we need a strong prayer ministry. See, God's going to raise up some intercessors with a pure heart. They just want to cover our church, our pastors, our people, our city in prayer. They have a passion for prayer. They don't care about getting the credit. I said we need some prayer warriors. We need some intercessors. We're talking about building a strong church. I know we're a small church right now, but we're going to build a strong church through prayer. We take the city on our knees. Sixthly, through life groups.
Amen.
And life group leaders.
Amen.
See, we're going to raise up, we're going to accomplish this vision through life group and life group leaders.
Amen.
Through which victory centers will be birthed.
Amen.
What happened to my piano player? You got to flow with the Spirit, sister. I said, that's why we need a strong anointed music department.
Amen.
That know how to flow with the Spirit of God. They don't get tired. They don't get weary. They know how to flow in the anointing of God. We will raise up life groups and life group leaders through which victory centers will be birthed. And some victory centers will turn into churches. What's this going to do? This will help us care for the people and train and disciple them to Jesus, to the Lord, and to their pastors. We don't need life group leaders doing their own thing. We need life group leaders that know how to disciple to the Lord and know how to disciple to their pastor. That will never cause a church split. They will not split the church because they're trying to build their own thing, because they're trying to build their own kingdom, because they're trying to disciple to themselves. No, my friend, those are dangerous leaders. But we're going to build a church with good leaders. Leaders after God's own heart who will edify and build up the body of Christ. And lastly, be strong. Frontline leaders, ministers who handle the word of God with integrity. I'm not the only minister. I'm not the only preacher. But we're going to have ministers that rightly divide the word of truth, who know how to conduct themselves behind the pulpit and away from the pulpit with humility and good character. That's how we're going to accomplish this vision. That's how we do it. By staying faithful to God. And like the Apostle Paul, being obedient to the heavenly vision. I want you to stand to your feet, strong church. Oh, come on, strong church. Stand to your feet. A strong church, the strong, powerful church that God wants is a church with a vision. It's not just about us, but it's about others. See, a strong church is not strong because of its seating capacity, but because of its sending capacity. Not because of how many we could seat, but how many we can send. I'll send all of you if I could. I'll send all of you if you're willing. I know not all are willing. I know all some. I know all are called, some are called to stay, be pillars. There's got to be a lot of us that are willing to go. But we can't go unless we build something here. We can't go unless we stay faithful here. We can't go unless we're trained here. Unless we evangelize here. Unless we give here. Unless we launch out here. Unless we sing here. Unless we pray here. Unless we lead here. Unless we care here. We may grow a little bit slow, but we grow strong. We're taking our time making some good disciples, making some good leaders, good men and women of quality that we can give to the international vision, that we can give to different cities and different countries and different states. People that will go out because they've been properly trained here in the local church. They'll go out and build strong churches. This is why you can't. You got to get involved. You got to grab what God has for you. You got to answer the call. You got to become that leaders that are in place. You got to be stronger. You got to carry weight. You got to lead people. You got to have disciples following you. You got to bring people to church. You got to disciple people. You got to produce leaders. Gang, UTC alumni. Reproduce yourself. Train, internalize everything that I've been preaching and teaching. Let's get busy. It's not about us. It's not about us, church. It's not about us. It's about other people. Take care of God's business. God's going to take care of your business. God's going to take care of your family. He's going to take care of your children. Surrender your life to God. Become that powerful leader. Become that powerful disciple. So that together, we can be that powerful church. Lift your hands to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, this morning we thank you for your presence in the Holy Spirit. This morning we thank you for your powerful anointing in this place. This morning we thank you for everything that you're doing, God, in our lives and in our church and in our ministry. Lord, this morning we pray for your grace to come upon us, Lord. Lord, I pray, God, for your grace to touch us. I pray for your anointing, God, like never before, to touch every individual, every member of Victory Outreach Grand Prairie. Thank you for our faithful people, God. Thank you because you've given us faithful people, faithful tithers, givers, servants. I thank you for all those that serve in ministry, God, those that hold it down. I thank you, Lord. We could not do it without them. But I know you got greater things for them. And I pray that they will be challenged, God. Lord, challenge them, God. Lord, if it's not through my message, through somebody else's message. Lord, through the Holy Spirit, through the anointing. Lord, that is only yours, Lord. Father, I pray that couples would rise up, God. The singles would rise up, God. The young people would rise up, God. The men and women in the home, God, would grab, Lord, what's being promoted, what's being pushed, what's being taught. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would raise up mighty leaders, giants, God, city takers, God, spiritual giants, God, that will shake the world for your honor and for your glory. Move in this place. Right there where you're at, just lift your hands and worship the Lord as the worship team sings. worship the Lord right there where you're at. Hallelujah. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Inside of their hearts. We thank you for positioning us. We thank you, Lord, for leaders, God, leaders being challenged, leaders stepping out. We thank you, Father. We thank you for raising up, God, of people that were once dead in their sins and trespasses, but you're raising us up. You've raised us up to be an army for your honor and glory. Continue to use us, God. Lord, let us be those bold Christians. Let us be that powerful church that you called us to be. We give you